Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And we are going to have some fun today. We're going to talk more recruiting from a holistic standpoint. Going to kind of look at the high school recruiting side of it. Portal, we can talk portal all day long. Auburn's obviously been on a run lately. 7 commits in the last month with some big ones, Ben.
Yeah.
Some big ones in there. Some bigger ones.
The offensive line being addressed. You and I discussed it on previous Afternoon Delight, where you get a tackle that is really you're beating out the likes of the Notre Dames of the world, which I know that people are, Notre Dame's not with you. I don't care. That's still they still get a lot of the guys they go after just because they're quote unquote Notre Dame, and so I think that I think that's a sign of things to come. And you and I have talked about it. I mean, you'd asked me, at a time before how I feel about the Golish administration. And what was it you said? Is jury out? Are you pro?
I'm just as far as this run has gone lately, I mean, it's kind of silenced a lot of the narratives around could he recruit at this level? Is he going to be able to recruit at a high level on the high school ranks or not? And I think this has silenced it. And I guess what I was asking is, off camera was, do you think this is something that's, temporary, or do you think it's something, just a hot little run, or do you think the jury's still out as far as like how this staff will compete as a recruiting staff, high school recruiting staff in the SEC?
I think this staff will compete. The jury's not out for me. And I know that you've talked about high school, but I'm still going to throw
you're
in.
You're sold.
I'm sold because I'm going to throw in how it began when he brought players with him. And I know that's different than high school recruits, but still, he brought players with him. Two previous administrations did not do that. It's you and I've talked, and you'd said that, it's a step up for South Florida players, probably professionally as well as monetarily, from what they were getting. But you say the same thing out of Liberty and Boise State. I mean, I would say Auburn's a better program than both of those, with the two previous administrations. However, the thing that also got me is you look at his history, Kyle. I mean, he was at Ohio State, where he was one of the people in charge of recruiting and scouting and going into homes and visiting with people. Same thing when he was at Tennessee, and he was there for his little sip of coffee that he had before he became the head coach. And so I'm not one of those that goes, oh, well, this is good. It's first year. Everything's new. So these kids are kind of buying in because it's a new and it's a fresh thing. And they're probably hearing things out of them that they haven't heard out of other coaches. No, I think this staff is going to do fine from both the transfer portal and the high school recruiting aspect, because you just don't hear any bad coming out of it. And I know that the key thing, and I mentioned this on yesterday's Afternoon Delight, now you got to win games, because that's what's going to back it up. You can sell them all you want, but if they get here and start losing, they're going to flake on you, and you're going to be playing scramble mode to keep from losing them. So the jury's not out for me. I still think it's out for a lot of fans, though, of what to come to. But
you think it's justified? You think that's justified?
But is ignorance justified? Because we just don't know. Like, they don't, that's my question is, when when they go, I just don't know, I'm like, well, then how can you like be anti? Because if we don't know yet, and so far his first, like they do with presidents, his first 100 days on the job, he's done just fine.
Okay, so devil's advocate, and this is not my argument, okay, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at, God, his name, what's the Florida coach? Billy Napier. Not Billy Napier.
No, that's the old Florida coach. Summerall.
John Summerall. You look at John Summerall, and they are currently 8th in recruiting. Mm-hmm. 1 5-star, 9 4-stars, and they have 15 commitments. I guess you if you're the skeptical Auburn fan, you're looking at it, you know, you almost had John Summerall, you got Alex Golish, you're looking at two, all you can look at is what they're doing now, you know, and you're like, man, why can't we be there? Or why isn't Auburn there right now? Like, why isn't Auburn on that level? Do you get where they may be coming from there? That's not necessarily out of ignorance, I don't guess. I mean, of course, we don't know the end of the road on this class.
Yeah.
But do you understand where some folks, I guess, would be coming from? Again, not me, but I'm seeing it out there.
Again, I've told you, I get the skepticism by some. I'm not in that crowd. I'm not in that boat. To answer your question, I would venture to tell those people that make that argument, it's kind of like Nick Saban said about recruiting the state of Louisiana. That's kind of the same thing Summerall's been able to is going to be able to do going like down into Florida. Like he's going to have a base of Florida players that will want to go to Florida because they grew up Florida fans and they've got some assets and some tools to work with. And so he literally could not leave the state of Florida and field a very good team at the University of Florida. Whereas, you know, Golish is going to have to compete with Georgia, with Alabama. Hell, Kylie's going to have to compete with, you know, the UABs of the world and the South Alabamas of the world for some of those fringe guys who can go start at one of those places and maybe told that, hey, you may be a backup here. So, yeah. You know,
not to be argumentative, but like I think only 6 of the 15 commits he has are from the state of Florida. They're having a lot of success right now. But on the flip side of the argument, yeah, if it were where I don't see people saying anything about, which is kind of crazy to me, is Auburn's ahead of Alabama.
I know. Recruiting.
Auburn fan, negative fan, likes to point to the Summerall deal.
Yeah.
But they won't look back and point at the Alabama. Here's my thing, Ben, and you tell me if you think I'm off the wall or crazy. I think expecting a learning curve is justifiable. I think there more than likely early on there was a learning curve when it comes to the part of that nobody wants to talk about, when it comes to money and when it comes to values of players. And I'm sure, you know, we saw it. I'm sure there was some sticker shock on their minds when you see current players that haven't won a lot of games that are saying, hey, my number's this. And you're like, whoa, what's that? That's crazy. And then, no, we're not going to do that. Then they leave and go actually get that number at another SEC school. And then you turn around and have to replace them by paying a very similar number. So, like, you didn't really gain a whole lot there. There's a lot of learning on the fly. But what I like, Ben, is let's take the Will Mensel to Mycen Johnson Cook commitment. Okay, the Will Mensel commitment to Oregon and then Mycen Johnson Cook. Will Mensel was probably going to cost a pretty penny, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Mycen Johnson Cook, there was no Auburn buzz until after Will Mensel went to Oregon. So what does that tell you, Ben?
The number one thing it tells me is they're keeping stuff close to their vest. But number two, what are you getting at here?
You lose a commitment that was going to cost you a lot of money, and then all of a sudden you shoot to the top of the list on another commit, what is that out of seemingly nowhere? What does that tell you? They've learned what kids cost.
They got a plan in place. That's what I was going to say. They got a plan. Whether that's a financial plan or, I don't know, a promise plan of, hey, this is what you're going to get at some point, but they have some sort of plan in place.
Yes, you have to be willing to go there. It sounds awesome. Sounds super cool to say, we're not going to talk about money. We're here to play football. We love ball. We want guys that love ball. Like, that sounds awesome. And I would love for that to be – I would love to have a team full of 4 and 5 stars that just love ball, and they don't even care about money at all. But my whole thing is like, why can't you love both? Why does it have to always be one or the other?
You're going to have to love to learn both because, and this is a different show for a different day, but you know, that's like in basketball right now. Like in order to even talk to a guy that's even only averaging less than 5 points and five rebounds a game, the numbers start at like 1.5 million. So
you Ashton know, Daniels, I saw an article. Ashton Daniels got like over $1 million at Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, numbers are crazy.
Yes.
Money is real. I said all that to say my only concern with the staff, it wasn't effort. They worked their ass off.
Yeah.
It wasn't relatability. They're likable. It wasn't drive. I didn't think Golish was going to be a, hey, we only take the stairs and I don't have to recruit because people know me, like Brian Harsh. I didn't think that. I saw that within the first 10 yeah. minutes of him being here. This guy's going to grind, and he does. My only concern was, can they figure out the side of the game that nobody wants to talk about, and that's the money game. We're going to dive into that a little bit deeper here in just a second. But I want to talk about, give a shout out to buyauburn.com first. If you're an Auburn fan, hey, you need to go before you start shopping or looking for a service. You need to start here. You could be in Douglasville, Georgia. Oh. And you're like, dadgum, and I need to find somebody to cut my grass, or I need to find a landscape guy. We got one. Auburn fan, Douglasville, Georgia, has a landscape company. That's the kind of stuff we want to do, and as we continue to grow, we're going to be able to offer more services to more people across the Southeast and hopefully across the country. It's less than $1 a day if you own a business to list it with buyauburn.com. It's a no-brainer. Show us some love. It's buyauburn.com. I don't want to read any more ads. I want to jump straight into this. So, yes, my only concern was money, and then I've seen Auburn turn up the heat right there at the end on Mison Johnson Cook now, and I've seen Auburn turn up the heat at the 11th hour and land Leighton Von Brandt, one of the top 100 top 100 players in the country, and steal him from a stone-cold lock to Notre Dame. I mean, I'm talking like people had given up, and then all of a sudden, boom, you steal.
Well, not even giving up. How about the Notre Dame people thinking they went to bed Sunday night thinking that he was going to be a
– Yeah, they were in the chat. They were in the live chat of the announcement still thinking he's going to Notre Dame. I guess I even had this discussion, and I can remember the recruit too. It was Elijah Brown. He's a defensive lineman from Prattville.
Okay.
He goes, I mean, Auburn, obviously you want to in-state, four-star, you want to load up. If there's one of those on the defensive line, especially a big guy, and you can get him, you go get him. You know what I mean? And he commits to Kentucky. And I'm like, I was having a conversation, and I had just heard some quotes or things like that where it's like, hey, we're not really – you know, we don't want to talk about money. Money can't be the emphasis and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I get all that. But if that's the route you go, I think you're going to get your teeth kicked in, you know, on the recruiting trail, because nobody else is going to be not talking about money. So I was like, man, some things are going to have to change, or it could be tough sledding. You know, and then boom, the commits start rolling, and then you start firing down on some of these big guys, and it ain't because they just love ball.
No,
like let's be real.
It ain't kid from Delaware didn't grow up loving Auburn.
No, exactly.
So, and so you got to have the money conversation. Kyle, do you think when that first started, and like you mentioned two examples right there of guys that ended up going somewhere else, Oregon and Kentucky. Do you think when it first started, it's because it's almost like, okay, put it into real world terms, it's almost like you work for a small business, a small company. You're just knocking it out of the park, but you're very limited on your resources. Okay. You don't have company cars to give your employees. You don't have a lot of benefits to give your employees. You don't have a lot of perks to give them as far as vacation. You guys just grind it all the time. Then all of a sudden you get recruited and they want you to be the CEO of this company because they see the work that you've done. And then you get there and you're still trying to kind of run it like you did your small business. Mm. However, some of your shareholders are telling you, hey, bro, you got a lot of assets here that you can use. And you can, like, you can make some promises to some people to bring them over to you. Like, you think some of that took place when you went to Auburn?
Preach it. Preach it.
And I think that now they're kind of waking up to, holy, you know what? Like, we can do this.
Hold on. You're telling me this kid right here, I really like him. He could be a generational running back. And he has the drive. He's a three-sport athlete, loves football, but he's just looking for this. And you telling me we got that? We can do that? Oh, fire it down. Fire it down. Let's seal the deal. You nailed my point. You nailed my thought process on where I think this staff is right now. And I think all of that is okay. I think it's totally okay. The on-the-field stuff is what had to be fixed.
Yes.
Okay? We got the ammunition for you off the field to build the roster. We got to get this team fixed. Now, it doesn't mean you can't recruit. It doesn't mean you can't put in the effort. But we got the firepower.
Yeah.
All we need you to do is get up to speed. Let's coach these guys as hard as we can. And then you tell us who you want.
Yes.
And you recruit it, and we'll get them.
Yes.
And you have to learn that there is a learning curve there when you're not really used to it. You pointed to Ohio State. And look, that was before NIL. And I know there was still the under the table NIL, but it ain't anything like it is now. Same thing with Tennessee. He was at Tennessee right when NIL started to take off in the SEC. And had you really got a chance to understand what the values are now? And then you go to South Florida, and let's just be honest, you're probably going to get guys are going to be cheaper in South Florida. You're not going to be able to go pay, you know, $4 million for a quarterback.
Yeah, you don't have the resources there.
So it's going to take you some time. So, Ben, what I'm saying is, have they figured that part out? That's where I'm at right now. Are they at the point where they're like, okay, we get it. We get it. We understand the backing. We understand more on SEC level valuations.
Yeah.
And now we are primed to go manage this thing. And we can go, hey, if we want to go pop one off and go get a big time guy, we got the firepower to do it. We may not be able to go get 20 of them, but we may be able to go get five and then spread it around and then go, you know, hit the portal when the portal opens up.
And get some assets, to put around them, get some assets around them. You know, it's funny because let's go back to part of the first part of the conversation and the first segment that you were talking about Summerall and people saying, well, he's doing this and he's doing that. Summerall had probably a little bit leg up on Golish in that aspect because when he was at Troy, he got to see what Alabama and Auburn were doing to get players. He got to see it first because he lost players in state at Troy because they didn't have the assets. And he's probably just been itching to get to a program that he knew did. So maybe he's a month ahead of Golish on that sort of thing. But I think that what you just – I think like the light bulb has gone off with the entire staff.
It's and not what I just said. It's what you said.
Yeah.
You spelled it out correctly.
And so preached. now that it's there and they're able to use what they have around them that they didn't – you don't know what you don't know. So when you get to that new company as the CEO and all you've been seeing is the lobby in your office – you don't know what's down there in the supply room that can help out your company get better and be better. So he's now realizing as he does these you know, these attack things where he goes and he speaks to people. He's probably got people coming up to him going, "Coach, what do you need?" Well, he don't know.
Yeah.
And he also doesn't know what to ask because he just met this person. And now when they come and they ask him, "Coach, what do you need?" "Well, we're looking at this guy. Say no more. Tell me who I need to talk to." And he's probably going, "Holy crap, I got a lot of resources around me from the Wicker Points of the world and from the alumni bases that are down in South Georgia and up in Atlanta. And, you know, go talk to Stephen Pearl what they can do for you in Atlanta." Stephen Pearl goes and just pillages Atlanta when it comes to basketball players. And it's because of the resources he has around him that can make that happen. So I think now Golish and staff, I'm not putting it all on him. I think Golish and staff have kind of seen the light of what they have, what assets they have around them from within the program and the close-knit base around the program that they can – they're not afraid to ask now.
If that's true, Ben, and I don't know how you can look at the evidence of late and think that it's not. If that's true, Ben, we could have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We could have a lot of fun. That's all I can really say, because the idea that I'm seeing a lot is when you're talking about recruiting, they're like, "Well, we did that. You know, we recruited well. We didn't win on the field." Those things aren't mutually exclusive. You don't sacrifice coaching to recruit, and you don't have to sacrifice recruiting to coach. You can be good at both.
Mm-hmm.
And I can point to a billion examples of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so yes, recruiting still matters. This staff is now proving to you that you have to go get big time guys and you have to compete on the part of the game that makes us all want to throw up. You're going to have to compete on the money side too. And I think you summed it up so beautifully. It's exactly my mindset. It was a perfect analogy. I think this staff has gotten to the point where they're looking, we got this storage closet. Oh my gosh, we can add a whole room off the end of this house. Like they're learning all of the different things this is a multi-million dollar company they've jumped into, tens of millions of dollars company that they've jumped into. And it's taken some time to learn about all of the ammunition and how to use it. And I think they're really close. And they may already be there. So this is going to be a fun couple of months. We have June up until like June 19th, which I think is the last big visit weekend. And then it goes to a dead period. Mm-hmm. So we have basically a month left of official visits.
Yep.
And then it's going to be a dead period. Then it's football season, 10 weeks. Coming, my guy.
Yeah, if you saw that video that got released on Twitter that he was explaining that to the players with 10 weeks,
don't waste a day.
You can't take a day off.
Let's don't spoil that, because that could be a whole show. We got five of them a week, boy. Man, can you imagine how lit this show's going to be if Auburn's good in football during football season?
Oh my gosh,
we might do a whole week of shows shirtless if we're full. Like, if we start winning football games, like, it could just be a ton of fun, which does nothing for the audio listeners.
No,
actually, it may do everything for the audio.
Imagination, how about that? When we explain that we're shirtless on there, the imagination just goes wild.
Ben, great stuff, man. Guys, thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.